Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Since every week I've been covering very heavy moral conflicts in the culture war, it's time for a little bit of levity, a topic that's quite light. So this week's program is about UFOs, hence the iconic Twilight Zone music at the beginning of the program, which has come to represent our culture, the weird, the bizarre, even conspiracy theories. The Twilight Zone music, the soundtrack, is really genius as far as music is concerned. So let's put on our tinfoil hats and get started here. This will probably be the only program I'm ever going to do about UFOs unless the aliens arrive and present themselves in Washington, like in the classic movie Mars Attack. Actually, the movie Mars Attack is a conservative movie making fun of all the politicians and the peaceniks who are naive concerning evil in this world. And if you're old enough to remember, there's also that radio drama, War of the Worlds, with Orson Welles. I remember my mother telling the story that she heard the program live when it was aired in 1938. She knew it was fiction, but all of her brothers thought it was true. By the way, in 2005, Tom Cruise did a great retake on the War of the Worlds. The alien ships came up from under the streets in Perth Amboy, right around the corner from here. I'm a great fan of sci-fi because it's a way to teach a moral lesson through a situation outside of ourselves, which helps us better see the lesson. Sci-fis are really morality plays. The Twilight Zone wasn't really about the paranormal. It was teaching moral lessons. Now, of course, because sci-fi has to depict the future, it can be used as a source of false teaching. Just like in Star Trek, mankind through technology without God solves all social problems. So just be careful with sci-fi. Well, over the weekend, all of the major networks reported that a family in Las Vegas called 911 to report 8-foot-tall aliens in their backyard. Could you imagine being the dispatcher? Another crackpot call. The officers who arrived didn't see the aliens, but they saw the glowing orb over the neighborhood. The two brothers were in the backyard working on their truck when all of a sudden they heard something fall from the sky. They turned around to see a bright light and heard an impact with a shockwave. Then they heard footsteps. And then they saw tall, thin creatures, large eyes, large mouth, big feet. The boys called their father. The father also saw the creatures. And then they called 911. This young man recounts the whole event in a YouTube entitled, I Had Aliens in My Backyard. You can check that out if you're interested. So I find the whole thing quite humorous, whether it's real or not. You know, when I was driving recently through the night back from Nashville a couple of weeks ago, I tuned into all sorts of AM radio stations where listeners told of their alien encounters. And I found that quite entertaining. Yeah, I find the unknown, the bizarre, to be humorous, especially given my secure relationship with God. I suppose if I was an unbeliever, I'd be concerned. We need a verse for that. How about Job chapter 5, verse 22? You will laugh at violence and famine, and you will not be afraid of wild beasts. Well, that's a quote from Eliphaz, and we usually don't quote Job's three friends when we want definitive truth. So how about Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2? Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. Here's another story that all the networks ran with last week. Military whistleblower goes public with claims U.S. has secret UFO retrieval program. Air Force veteran says secret U.S. military program retrieving crafts of non-human origin sometimes encounter dead pilots. And this seems credible, coming from an Air Force veteran, from the article. David Charles Grusk, a 36-year-old decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, served the National Reconnaissance Office, acting as their representative to Congress, Congress's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force from 2019 to 2021. Also at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, he also served from late 2021 to July of 2022 as co-lead of the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, the UAP, analysis and its representatives to the task force, which was recently renamed the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Grusk filed a whistleblower complaint to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General on classified information that he insists proves the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the U.S. government, its allies, and defense contractors, unquote. So here is someone the military itself picks to inform Congress about UFOs, and he's claiming the government is still hiding information. And he's so much so willing to make this claim in the risk of his career. So it all sounds legitimate, but let me start off this topic by pointing out that people can tell big whoppers. And some people get their jollies out of making fake photos. I've even seen good people admit to me that they've lied about having spiritual visions because at the time they were caught up in the emotion and the peer pressure of having to share an encounter or a sign. Just when you think there's no way someone could be lying about such and such, you'll be surprised to discover they're lying. And don't imagine you can be able to tell when someone's lying, that you're able to judge their sincerity or their demeanor. You can't. I mean, of course, there are some people who are not good at lying, but the real liars in this world, you can't tell. And beware of those who say, I can tell when someone's lying. They're usually the first to be deceived. And people in groups can go along with a mass psychosis and believe a lie. People see what they want to believe. And this gets into this whole area of Christian apologetics. There are some Christian writers, who try to prove the Christian faith by saying the disciples of Christ must have been telling the truth because they wouldn't have died for a lie. They wouldn't have preached the resurrection of Christ through the Roman Empire and taken that kind of persecution if they fabricated the story. Well, for me, that is not a good proof of Christianity because people die for lies all the time. For example, the Islamists who drove planes into the World Trade Center, they died for a lie. And Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, he received all sorts of persecution for his claim that he had received golden tablets in the mountains of New York. Neighbors used to say as a young boy, he used to always tell tall tales. Furthermore, our perceptions, our experiences, are not necessarily grounded in truth. People can be schizophrenic, delusional, psychotic. People hear voices that aren't there. This often takes place under stress. But you say, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible tell us that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is to be established? True, but that's just what God tells us to go with. That doesn't mean two or three witnesses can establish a truth beyond any shadow of a doubt. Witnesses can conspire together to lie. The scriptures even make provision for lying witnesses. Exodus 23. and people can tell falsehoods in a group. We have whole political parties today that tell lies. And look up in the Bible how often the Bible refers to people spreading falsehood. The most universal characteristic of the unsaved is lying. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. Revelation 22 speaks of everyone who loves and practices lying. The atheist David Hume made the following famous statement about miracles or the paranormal. Quote, "A miracle is so contradictory to all of human experience that it's more reasonable to believe any amount of testimony false than to believe a miracle is true." So, the argument refuting Hume's theory is that the individual is then making his own personal experience the measure of all human experience. So if someone in the 19th century sees a plane flying through the air for the first time, according to Hume, he cannot believe it's so, because it doesn't sync with his previous experiences. With Hume's theory, one could never accept anything new or possible. But Hume's point, ought to be considered. If one sees a miracle or something paranormal, one should first begin to question his own perceptions, his own eyesight, his own sanity, before claiming to have seen the supernatural. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 addresses this. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. The angels there refer to heavenly messengers, spirits, even to demons. Now, the qualifier, inflated without cause, indicates that these are false visions. The King James Version translates this verse, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. The negation there actually appears in the Greek text. Or how about Jeremiah 23:16? The lying prophets speak a vision of their own imagination. So why then do I believe in the resurrection and the Gospels? Well, it has very little to do with the witness of the apostles. I never knew them. I can't question them. I can't do an investigation. But it's the moral message of the Bible that convinces me it's true. Also, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the witness of creation, that gives witness to the attributes, the eternal power, and the divine nature of God. But that's a whole other subject. The point I'm trying to make is that witnesses can lie. And we should always seriously consider that the UFO phenomenon is just one big mass psychosis, a big hoax. And that's where we should start. I mean, after all, look at all of the hoaxes that are promoted in society. The climate crisis, that the world was going to be uninhabitable by 2020. Or Darwinism, that we all evolved from protozoa. Or the overpopulation myth, that the world would be in starvation by the year 2000. All of this is driven by ideology and wishful thinking. People interpret what they see, the facts around them, according to their worldview. And if you believe in aliens, you will see them in every shadow. But having said all this, there have been stories and videos of UFO that defy explanation. I'm not talking about the Chinese balloon that flew over our country in February. At first, everyone was talking about the Air Force chasing alien spaceships. Well, actually, probably 99.9% of UFO sightings are cases of mistaken identity. But then there's this video footage that the Navy released in 2020 of a Navy pilot pursuing a UFO. The testimony of this pilot was actually featured in a CBS 60 Minutes story. An unclassified report was released in June of 2021 by the U.S. Director of National Intelligence. It concluded that UFOs relate to 144 instances dating back to 2004. And they largely defy explanation and call for further investigation analysis. On November 23rd of 2021, the Pentagon announced the establishment of the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, the AOIMSG, to secede the Navy's Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And in December of 2021, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2022, signed by President Joe Biden, included provisions for the establishment of a permanent agency to investigate unexplained aerial phenomenon. And then last spring, the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation led congressional hearings with top military officials to discuss military reports of unexplained aerial phenomenon, UAPs. It was the first congressional hearing on UFO sightings in over 50 years. And now Congress is planning to hold special hearings in the light of this whistleblower saying that the government is hiding UFO information. So, needless to say, there is a great interest and a belief in UFOs today. And that's one of the reasons for this week's program. Here's an article from The Atlantic entitled, "Why Everyone is Suddenly Talking About Aliens." Well, we have all of these reports, and people are catching more photos with their cell phones, and the government is doing these investigations. And so this is the story people at work are going to be talking about in the break room. And what's to be our Christian witness? How can we use this to bring people's attention to what really matters, their relationship with God and salvation through Christ? Well, as I mentioned, this is a good opportunity to discuss how people can lie, how people can be easily deceived, to address the question of how we know what's true and false in this world. And that always brings the conversation over to God and the Bible. But second, let's assume for a moment that these UFOs are real. Then what? What does the Bible have to say about this? The Bible doesn't tell us that God made other planets with other beings. In fact, the nature of God's redemption through Christ's incarnation seems to mitigate against there being other species on other planets. But we do know this. God made two races, the human race and the angelic race. And it's been long speculated that UFOs are of demonic origin. This isn't something that I'm coming up with. Every pastor I've ever talked with about this subject sees a connection between UFOs and what the Bible says about demons. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2. He rules over a kingdom of fallen angels, Ephesians 6:12. Rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So let me explain how this all might be working. Satan and his fallen angels were cast down to the earth. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, this may be referring to a future event, but in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, that indicates a casting down to earth that took place when Lucifer fell. So demons don't live on Mars or Venus or in some other galaxy. They live among us. as in the slogan, "We're not alone." And there are plenty of scriptures to indicate that demons in their spiritual world are subject to some of the same limitations of time and space that we are. Daniel chapter 9, the angels and the demons are in a battle, and it takes time and distance for the angels Gabriel and Michael to overcome the demon in charge of Persia. So these demons are likely trapped on earth, and they probably can't transport themselves across the universe. They have to move among us in sometimes conventional ways. And the angelic race, we do know, exists in a dimension that we cannot see. In that sense, they're non-physical. And so the Bible describes them as spirits, which is the term wind. Hebrews 1:14, are they not ministering spirits? So don't imagine we can see angels under normal circumstances. Also, being in the spiritual world, these demons can influence people's thoughts. As we see in the scripture, it talks about the doctrines of demons influencing people. Because we are both spiritual and physical creatures. One part of us is in the physical world. The other part of us, our souls and our spirit, are in the spiritual world. And according to what we read in the Gospels, the demons can only have contact with the physical world through the possession of people. It's only through our senses that they can fully perceive the physical world. And this conclusion is drawn from what Jesus taught, Luke chapter 11. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And not finding any, it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." So apparently, not being connected to the physical world is an unpleasant experience for demons. Demons would rather be connected to the physical world through a physical body. Well, at least maybe some demons in a particular category, because demons likely differ in nature and in gifts or abilities, just like the human race. And some demons have been confined by God because they have used their abilities beyond what God would permit. Jude 6. Now, concerning UFOs, there are two theories. First, that UFOs, the objects, and these aliens are spirit beings that reveal themselves, just like the angels that appear to men in the Old Testament. Remember Judges chapter 13, verse 10? Manoah and his wife were visited by an angel who left by ascending with the flames on the altar. Or 2 Kings 6, when Elijah's servant's eyes were opened, he saw the angelic hosts and their chariots. These angelic hosts and their chariots were always there, but they weren't visible until God made them visible. Could demons make themselves visible by their own power? Maybe. So these alien sightings could just be physical manifestations of demons. They seem to appear and disappear quickly, materialize and then dematerialize. Some of these crafts seem to defy the laws of physics, traveling through dimensional doors. Well, the second theory is that these demons somehow have secured for themselves or created for themselves physical bodies. They're highly intelligent beings. They know how to work with DNA. And there are all sorts of theories about this, that before the Noahic flood, certain demons interacted with the human race. And these are the fallen angels that are spoken of in the book of Jude. They didn't keep their own domain, their own regions, but they left their proper abode. So God has kept these demons in eternal bond under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So demons are on a short leash. They can't do everything they would like to do. Otherwise, God will send them to the abyss early. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And we know that in the last days, in the apocalypse, certain messengers, who may be demons, are released to inflict damage upon the world. Well, then the UFO possibility may be that these are fallen demons who live among us, who hide from us, who move about us in similar ways, but they have created bodies and chariots to do so. Remember Eric von Daniken's books? He made a fortune over claiming that all the ancient visitations of angels and demons were actually visitations by aliens. Looks like he got the whole story in reverse. These visitations of aliens were actually visitations of angels and demons. Let's also keep in mind that these demons are deceivers. Their goal is to distract people from the gospel of Christ, to portray a false narrative about the universe, to promote the Antichrist and a disbelief in God. You know, as demons, they don't want the world to know the truth about their origin. They may want to appear every now and then to keep people speculating about false cosmologies. Answers in Genesis points out that the whole UFO narrative of aliens from other planets, that we're not alone in this universe, is based upon Darwinistic evolutionary assumptions. And Answers in Genesis has all sorts of articles about this subject. You can check that out. There are also non-Christian UFO researchers who speculate that UFOs are about something evil, something demonic, something that's originating not from outer space, but from within our own planet. Here's an interesting quote from a well-known UFO researcher, Dr. Jacques Vallès. Quote, "We're dealing with a yet unrecognized level of consciousness, independent of man, but closely linked to the Earth. I do not believe anymore that UFOs are simply the spacecraft of some extraterrestrial visitor. This notion is too simplistic to explain their appearance, the frequency of their manifestations through recorded history, and the structure of the information exchanged with them during contact. An impressive parallel can be made between UFO occupants and the popular conception of demons. UFOs can project images or fabricate scenes designed to change our belief systems. Human belief is being controlled and conditioned. Man's concepts are being rearranged, and we may be heading toward a massive change of human attitudes toward paranormal abilities and extraterrestrial life." Unquote, Dr. Jacques Vallès, for what it's worth. Can it be that as we enter the end of this age, there will be more awareness and interaction between humanity and the demonic? Maybe so. Babylon in the book of the Revelation is described as being the dwelling place of demons and every unclean spirit. Some other reactions to UFOs. I noticed that many Left Behind series dispensationalists seem to think that UFOs will be the world's explanation for the rapture of the church, that the world will say that these Christians were taken up by aliens. Well, that's too much speculation for me. I'm kind of embarrassed to even suggest it. These Christians are certainly superimposing their eschatology on the UFO phenomenon. I mean, after the coming of the Lord for his people and the resurrection, dispensationalists believe that there's going to be 3.5 years of peace, leaning more toward mid-tribulationism or post-tribulationism myself. I've never believed the world is going to be looking for an excuse for why these Christians have disappeared, because they're going to be in the throes of Armageddon. Some see UFOs as the next false flag event. Another lie from governments to push a globalist agenda? Maybe. But I tend to think globalists already have plenty of other tools to work with. Here's an article from a Roman Catholic source entitled, UFOs are back in the news, and Catholics are ready to deal with any theological questions on alien life. Quote, far from being a kind of backbreaker for religious faith, are becoming aware of the existence of other rational creatures in the cosmos would likely reinvigorate theological inquiry quite dramatically, and the church's intellectual tradition on these questions would be brought to bear in exciting and important ways. The Catholic intellectual tradition stands ready to help humanity interpret and process the fact that we're not alone in the universe. Also, here's an article from a left-leaning Baptist periodical entitled, With All of This Talk of UFOs, What's a Christian to Think? And after the author references all sorts of philosophers and theologians, the author concludes, quote, as we prepare for the possible future discovery of aliens, let's embrace the larger, stranger God that Brahm feared. Let's dream of an infinite world as Bruno imagined. Let's be willing to re-examine our theological hierarchies in the light of relational cosmos we now know we have. Let's find beauty in the atonement models of Abelard, St. Francis, St. Bonaventure, and Scotus, which, by the way, were all false views of Christ's work on the cross. But the author goes on. Let's explore the Christian mysticism of Delio and Rohr, and let's humble ourselves in becoming whole by following the lead of liberationist theologians who can model for us how love can liberate the earth from all oppressive powers toward a consciousness of wholeness, where each civilization from across the universe is infinitely valued and immersed in love. Unquote. And such a piece demonstrates the naivety of liberalism toward evil.
Why are you doing this? Why? Isn't the universe big enough for both of us? What is wrong with you people? We could work together. Why be enemies? Because we're different? Is that why? Think of the things that we could do. Why can't we work out our differences? Why can't we work things out? Little people. Why can't we all just get along?
So why can't we all just get along and have love? Well, here's where I want to end. Beware of speculation. Beware of going beyond scripture. As Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, as I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. So this was to be a major priority for Timothy. That's why he was to stay in Ephesus. Nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Beware of strange doctrines, which means doctrines which are outside the teaching of Scripture. Sure, the Bible gives us the doctrine of demonology, and there are some lessons to learn about UFOs from that doctrine. But since the Bible is silent on UFOs, there are no prophetic words concerning UFOs, it shouldn't be our focus. We have bigger fish to fry. In preparing for this program, I discovered that there are whole Christian ministries that focus on UFOs and the paranormal. They have a 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, morbid interest in controversial questions. The sensationalism of it sucks in many religious people. And these folks see their whole faith through that lens, rather than feeding on the doctrines of Christ and salvation, holy living, prayer, missions, Christian growth that furthers the administration of God. You know what I'm talking about. Professing Christians who can tell you all about the occult and UFOs and conspiracy theories, but they don't know how to be good fathers or husbands, providers, because they've been discipled in the wrong thing. These strange doctrines do not edify the believer in what counts. So, UFOs are a big thing today. Be aware of the various explanations. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with reverence and gentleness. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. May Jesus Christ reign.